Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Today's message is titled, Will the Rocks Get Your Blessing? Or, How Bad Do You Want God's Touch in Your Life? Will the rocks get your blessing? Or how bad do you want God's touch in your life? If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And that's the section we're going to deal with to start off. And we may not read all of those scriptures, but I want you to know where it's at. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet no man, or never man, sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they were sent on their way, and they found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? Can you just imagine this stopping here a minute? Jesus has said, Go into town, you're going to find this colt tied there, and you take him, and bring him to me. And if anybody questions why, you say, The Lord hath need of him. Now, let's face it, if we were in today's world and we were going out and do that, we'd probably be seeing blue lights coming up behind us pretty soon, you know. But Jesus has said, go do this. And the disciples went at his word and they did. And sure enough, here come the owners. Hey, what are you doing to my colt there? And they simply said, the Lord hath need of him. No problem. Because it goes on in the next verse. And they brought him to Jesus, so they didn't have the cops showing up. Owners didn't fight with them. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now as the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. Jesus, calm these people down. They're getting a little bit carried away here. This glory to God in the highest and peace and all this stuff. Jesus, calm these people down. They're looking like fools out there. We're supposed to be a little more civilized than this. Keep it calm. Well, apparently these Pharisees and so on had never ever been to a football game either. But anyway, they couldn't understand all of this. Jesus, calm these people down. And Jesus speaks these words unto them. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, these stones or rocks would immediately cry out. If my disciples quieten down, if they don't praise me, if they don't worship me, if they don't praise God, then those rocks that are there in the ground, those stones are going to begin to rejoice and praise God. Pharisees, you're not going to stop it. You may stop the people, but then nature will cry out, the very rocks will cry out and praise my name. How bad do we want God's blessing in our life? The disciples that were crying out, they wanted God's blessing. They wanted something from God. And they were willing to get a little bit carried away to get what they wanted from God. Let's look at a few other folks in Scripture that wanted something. There's the story that's found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 48. And it says, "And as they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people," one thing you want to notice, that wherever Jesus went, it seems like there were always a great number of people. "Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now, you got to remember, back in those days, people who had disabilities such as blindness, leprosy, lameness, you name it, they didn't have a lot of choice in life except to beg and depend upon the generosity of others. So here's this blind man by the name of Bartimaeus who's sitting by the highway side begging. And it goes on and says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He didn't sit there by the roadside and say, "Jesus, O son of David, have mercy on me." No, he wanted to make sure he got Jesus' attention. It took a little bit more than just sitting there and saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." He put all he had into it to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, there were folks in the multitude who looked at him and said, "Hey, you, shut up." Here's what it actually says in Scripture. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Be quiet. My wife and I have talked about this a number of times. Is growing up in a Pentecostal church, one of the things as children you always wanted to make sure you did was be quiet in church. Yet we taught that there was the anointing of the Holy Spirit and people would shout and praise God and things like that. But we as children were to sit there and be quiet. And I understand the thinking behind it. We weren't supposed to be talking to our neighbor and talking about things that had nothing to do with the service, which kids sometimes do, or maybe playing with a toy. That we didn't take toys to church. We didn't sit there and text in church because they didn't have it. And if we had, well, we wouldn't have been texting with broken thumbs probably. But, you know, we knew that it wasn't even going to be after the service that we were going to be dealt with. But sometimes it would be immediately we would be dealt with. But one of the things from this is some of us, I think, grew up then is you developed an attitude of, well, we got to be quiet in church. But there's times we have to get out of our comfort zone and begin to worship and praise God. And you say, well, it's not my nature. I'm a quiet person. I'm timid. I got news for you. I'm timid. I know some of you look at me and I see smiles on your face and you say, I don't believe that. But you know what? It's because when God's Spirit begins to come upon me, I come out of that. It's out of my comfort zone. I'm not normally that way. And people who know me outside of church know that I'm pretty much a quiet person. And of course, I've over the time gotten a little more out of that than I used to be. But used to be, I was so quiet, I didn't have a lot of things to do with a lot of things. You know, I was just went around minded my own business. And I know I've changed over the years, and I see people laughing about that back there. But God, when He comes upon you, if you want something, sometimes you got to put a little something into it. If you want something from God, sometimes you got to begin to yell out, "Jesus!" Amen. You say, well, God's not deaf. He can hear me if I whisper. He can hear me if I just think it. And that's true. He can hear you if you just think, "Jesus." But there's sometimes he wants us to come out of that and really come out of it like we really have to do everything that's within our being to get his attention. Years ago, and I know some might not believe this, but I used to sing in a singing group. Nobody wants to hear me sing anymore for some reason. But there was a song, and it was one of my favorite songs that we sang. It was written by Bud Chambers. And it was called, If Jesus Said It, I Believe It. And one of the lines of the song went, the blind man cried, I cannot see. O Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus spoke, so sweet and low, arise, thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, that's the end of my singing, but you get the point there. If Jesus said it, I believe it. He believed that Jesus was the answer to the need in his life. He believed if he was ever going to see, Jesus was the answer. And he wasn't going to let this opportunity pass him by. And he didn't care if the deacon said, sit down and shut up. It says he cried out more the loud, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. He was willing, as some would say, to make a fool out of himself to get Jesus' attention because he wanted the touch of God in his life. He didn't care how much they told him to shut up. He kept it up till Jesus turned and spoke healing into his life. In verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And then the complete Jewish Bible, that verse reads, courage, get up, he's calling for you. He knew then that Jesus had something for him, because he was willing to do what it took to get Jesus' attention. He wasn't going to let the rocks get his blessing. He was going to cry out to God, and he was going to get God's touch in his life. Stories in Scripture also tell us in Luke's gospel about a man named Zacchaeus. And I know in Sunday school, we used to sing a song, and we called him Zacchaeus then. Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, whichever you want to call him. Zacchaeus was a wee, wee man. Wee, wee man was he. And I know I'm not singing it right, but he says, goes on to talk about he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord to see. Well, of course, that's telling you he was a little guy. Scripture doesn't tell us how tall Zacchaeus was, but he was short, apparently. Zacchaeus was also what? A tax collector. Ew, tax collector. Even today, 2,000 years later, that word tax collector comes out with a bitter taste, doesn't it? IRS. Here is the story in Luke chapter 19. Verses 1 through 4, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, I looked up sycamore tree in the Hebrew, and it tells us that word sycamore there comes from a couple of different words. One is a mulberry tree, can mean mulberry tree, and the other can mean fig tree. So he ran, he finds this tree, and he climbs up in it because he wants to see Jesus. Now you got to stop and think about this guy. He's rich. He gets what he wants, pretty much. He's not used to having to do certain things to get people's attention. He knows that when he walks down the street, people knows who he is. Look, there goes Zacchaeus. He's one wealthy tax collector. They knew him for two reasons. He was rich and he was a tax collector. He was used to having people cater to him. Maybe try to get his attention so that maybe they could get some favor from him. And some of them were used to having to probably plead before him as he collected the tax. Not a really popular person. But he'd heard of Jesus. And he decided that he was going to do what it took to see Jesus. And maybe get a blessing from Jesus. Now most rich guys aren't going to run ahead and climb up a tree just to get to see somebody. They'll have their person, their people, as they say now. They'll have their people take care of it. They'll have their people make a private appointment with Jesus so that they can speak to him privately. But he didn't send his people out there. And I got news, even back then, he probably had some people. He didn't send them out to say, Jesus, Zacchaeus wants you to come and have a private audience with him and speak to him and so on. He says, if I got to climb a tree to see Jesus, then I'm going to start climbing. Now, if this tree was something like a fig tree, I know a fig tree might be a little bit hard to climb because we've got a fig tree in our yard. It's not too awfully tall, and you wouldn't be able to climb in it because the ones that grow here don't get as big as they do in Israel. But I can imagine it's got a lot of branches and it's very bushy when it's all leafed out. But he climbed. He got up. I don't know how far he had to climb, but he got up in that tree. Well, if we go on and read the rest of the story, as Jesus walked by, he saw Zacchaeus up there. Zacchaeus, you got my attention. Come down here, boy. I'm going to go to your house today. He had to, in the eyes of some, make a fool out of himself. But he wanted the attention of Jesus. He wanted to get his attention. He wanted to get a blessing from him, and he was willing to do what it took to get that blessing. Even if he had to climb a tree, even if he had to get his $2,000 Brooks Brothers suit, a little dirty as he climbed the tree. Whatever it took, he wanted to get a blessing from God. He wasn't going to let the rocks get his blessing. And yet, we read how that Jesus told him, come down, I'm going to your house today. And the blessings that he received. And then the story is told in Mark's gospel of a certain poor widow. Poor folks back then were kind of overlooked. Just like poor folks today a lot of times are looked down on. And I'm in downtown Nashville almost every day, and I see a lot of homeless people down there. And most of them in some really drastic circumstances, or a lot of them. Some of them not there mentally. There's one man I've seen a number of times, and he stands and cusses out the trash basket. Don't have any idea why. I saw one day, he was laying in the street with big trucks going by. After watching it for a while, I ended up having to call the police to come out and pick him up because I was afraid he was going to get run over. And if you tried to get anywhere close to him, he'd jump up and start threatening you and cussing at you. There are people in desperate circumstances, and sometimes we tend to overlook, and we class people, if they don't have money, all into the same kind of a bucket here. Oh, they're poor people. Poor people love God too. Poor people are sometimes willing to do things for God that rich people aren't willing to do.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us here about a certain poor widow. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. Oh, here comes a rich man. He's putting $1,000 into the offering. Oh, thank God for that $1,000, the rich man cast into the offering. And I'm going to interject something here that really ticks me off sometimes with Christian television when they're telethons, is if somebody puts $1,000, they give them praise. Oh, thank God somebody put $1,000 in. Most likely that person had $1,000 that they could easily put in. Some people, if they put in $5, they're doing the best they can. And we should thank God for the $5 or the dollar or whatever they put in. It says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. Well, I tried to look up mite, and basically it told me it was a copper coin or a coin. And the New International Version calls a farthing a penny, because it says 2 mites made a farthing. NIV calls a farthing a penny, and the NASB calls it a cent. So essentially, if you go by that, a mite was worth half a penny. So she cast a penny into the offering. And I got news, except for the kids, that when they take up their money, and I don't even have a penny in my pocket here, but if somebody just put a penny in the offering, why did they bother? A penny's not worth anything. But when a penny is all you got, you get God's attention. His response was, and I'm going to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible here, in verse 43. And he called his Talmud and his disciples and said unto them, yes, I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the offering box than all the others making donations. So if some were putting in thousands and she put in a penny, Jesus said she gave more than the rest of them did. Why? Because, he goes on to say, for all of them, out of their wealth, have contributed money they can easily spare. But she, out of her poverty, has given everything she had to live on. She gave all she had. She came giving it willfully and freely, saying, God, I'm giving you all I got. It's only a penny, but it's all I got. And my trust is in you, God, to meet my need. She didn't want the rock stealing her blessing. She wanted to be blessed of God, and she put her life, literally, into God's hands when she gave that penny, because it's all she had. How much do we really want God's blessing in our life? Are we willing to give all that we can give? And I'm not just talking about finance. Are we willing to give all that we have to God? And you know, sometimes all God wants us to do is just to be willing. Sometimes people feel a call of God on their life to do something. No, God, I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to do these things I want to do if I obey you and do that. And you know what? Sometimes when God calls you, like, really all he wants you is to say yes. He may never ever have you do it. But he wants you to be willing. Are we willing to give all that we have to have God's blessing in our life? There's one more story I want to relate to you, found in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. And it's the story of a rich ruler, it says here, or a certain ruler. And he says, good master, in verse 18, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. He goes on, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these, this is the ruler saying, and all these have I kept from my youth up. I've kept all of this. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. A lot of times, there are people like me who grew up in church. We heard the gospel all of our life. I don't remember not ever having been in church. From a few days after I was born until this day, I've always been in church. I've heard the gospel. But yet there came that day that even though I had heard the gospel when I was 14 years old, that my Sunday school teacher, or 13 I believe it was, when my Sunday school teacher finally looked me in the face and said, Kenneth, are you saved? And I looked at her, and realization came to my mind, to my heart, no, I'm not. I knew all there was to know about it, so to speak. But I wasn't saved. And that night, before the song service was over, I was at an altar giving my life to Jesus Christ. Did it make big changes in my life right then? No. I wasn't having to come away from drugs, alcohol, all of these other things, because I'd never been in them. But there was that change in my life on the inside. Jesus was now in my heart, where before he'd been on the outside. And I knew who he was, but I didn't have that experience in my heart and life. Jesus is saying here, yes, you've done all of these things. You've followed all the commandments. You've led a good life. But you lack one thing. Sell all you've got. Give it to the poor and follow me. We'll never know what might have happened had that ruler said, okay, Jesus, I'm getting rid of all of it and I'm going to follow you. We'll never know. Because the Bible says he turned and walked away. He was sorrowful because he was rich. He let the rocks get his blessing. God might have blessed him beyond his wildest dreams had he said, Jesus, I'll follow you. We don't necessarily know what the outcome might be when we say, Jesus, I'll follow you. But I can tell you one thing for certain. When we decide to follow Jesus, we will be blessed. Amen. And you say, but I look around and I see Christians throughout the world that are being persecuted, that are being murdered because they're following Jesus. But they are going to be blessed. Their treasures are not here on this earth. Their treasures are laid up for them in heaven. And there is nobody can take them away.
Amen.
There are Christians today in the country of Pakistan, for example, just in the news this week. The only Christian who was a member of the cabinet, the ruling power in Pakistan, was murdered this past week. False charges brought against him, killed. Throughout the world, in certain countries, that's taking place today. But these people are standing up and saying, I am not going to let the rocks steal my blessing. I want something from God, and if I have to have my life taken to get it, I'm going to do it. My question is to some of folks today, if you were in that position, would you be able to stand and say, I'm going to stand for God. I'm not going to let the rock steal my blessing. I'm not going to let the devil steal my blessing. I'm going to stand even if it means my life. And some could say, yes, I can do that. But then the devil might come along and say, what if I take your family member instead? Can you still stand if I take your family member? We've got to be willing even then to say, I'm not going to let the rocks steal my blessing. I'm going to get my blessing from God and commit my loved one into God's hands. How bad do you want God's blessing in your life? Are you willing to shout it out when the world or even the church says, sit down and shut up? And I got news, folks. The world is saying, sit down and shut up to Christianity today. Even here in America, they're saying, sit down and shut up to Christianity. Article on the news just this past week, I can't remember which state it was in, but the government is coming against a church because they're trying to feed the poor. And they've decided that their building isn't clean enough, so they're going to shut them down and take away their tax exemption because their church is not clean enough to meet somebody's standard, because they had stuff stored over here which was going to be used to help the poor. These people are trying to do something for God, and other folks are coming against them, saying, we don't want you doing this. When everybody should be tickled beyond belief that somebody's trying to do something to help somebody. Amen. No, you can't help these people. Are we willing to climb that tree if necessary? Are you willing to give when God speaks to you to give? And I'm not saying just because God says, somebody says on TV or wherever, you give this and you're going to get this back and whatever. But when God speaks to your heart to give, because if God speaks to your heart to give, He's going to take care of the situation. He's going to meet the need. Are you willing to, if God says, stand up and shout in church, to stand up and shout? As I told you, in years past, I've been timid. And I'll have to admit, there were times I sat in church and the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. No, God, I can't. People will look at me. You know? And I still battle with that sometimes today. But we got to be willing, or the rocks are going to steal our blessing. Or what about when you say, but I can't do it? There's a lot of times that God begins to deal with, but we say, I can't do it, I can't do it. Maybe we're asked to do something in church and we say, I can't do it. All of us run into that sometimes. I can't do that. Now, I have to admit, if somebody said, Ken, go over and play the drums, because Larry's not here like he wasn't last Sunday, he was out sick. Go play the drums because Larry's not here. I'd say I can't do it. And believe me, folks, you'd be appreciative that I said I can't do it. Because I know there are some things that we can't do, but sometimes God lays something on our heart and we still try to tell God I can't do it when He's enabling us to do it. I have a friend from high school who's some type of official with the Baptist Church in California and the missions board. And he celebrated 40 some years of ministry this year. And he happened to mention to somebody that when God's called him, he said, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. But as God began to speak to him, he began to realize that's who he was. That's what God had called him to be. And he says, I can't imagine anything else now. Another interesting comment he made, I just got to throw it in here, is somebody responded back to him and said, well, Brother Stringfellow, you know, your preaching's never dull. And he enjoyed it and so on. And he responded back to the person and said, if it's dull, it ain't preaching. I've got to try to remember that if it's dull, it ain't preaching. Are we willing to take that extra step? Do we want to have that blessing from God? Or are we going to sit by and let the rocks steal our blessing? Maybe some of you are listening to me by CD or by internet today, and you've been sitting back and you've been letting the rocks steal your blessing. How bad do you really want God's blessing in your life? And maybe you're listening to me today by one of these means, and you're in one of these countries that I've talked about where Christians are being persecuted, and you say, how can I do it? How can I do it? All I can say to you is let God speak to your heart and be obedient to what God has to say for your life. And let God take care of the situation. But don't let the rocks steal your blessing. And maybe some folks are listening to me today that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And some may have been in church all their life, just as I was. And you need Jesus Christ in your life today. Because right now the rocks are stealing your blessing because you don't have Jesus in your life. And Father, today I pray for these folks, whether they be here in this congregation or whether they be somewhere else, Father. I just pray, Father, as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to hearts and lives today, Father, that we'll determine that the rocks are not going to steal our blessing. That we want something from God. Father, we want it beyond anything else we desire in our heart is that blessing from God. And we're willing, Father, to do what it takes to get that blessing. And Father, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would speak to hearts and lives today. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.